Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Lord, we thank you for just the choir and just the truth of the song that, Lord, we can build, we can live in houses that we build and they're not going to stand. Live in houses that we build, and they might look good for a while on the outside, but they'll be crumbling on the inside. Lord, we want to live in a house that's built by you and built upon you. You are the rock. So, Lord, when the fires come, or when the struggles come, or when the hurts come, or when the winds blow, or when the waves come, Lord, our house will stand, not because of who we are, Jesus, but because of who you are in us. Make it so. Let that happen. Let that be something, a resolve, a commitment that every single person here makes this day. Unless the Lord builds your house, unless the Lord builds the house, those that build it, no matter how hard they work, no matter how smart they are, those that build it labor in vain. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys, thank y'all for just being not just our worship leaders, but our lead worshipers. And y'all stay standing. I'm going to make you do a little cardiovascular. Stand up for just a minute, and then we'll read the scripture, all right? I spent 3 days this week at the Ridgecrest Conference Center. Janie, we got to pick, okay? And so this is in Black Mountain, North Carolina. Now, I flew into Charlotte and then drove a couple of hours up into the mountains, and the whole area was completely new to me. So, of course, I'm following my GPS directions. I was traveling west on I-40, and I knew I was supposed to take exit 66, but when I was still driving 70 miles an hour and about a mile from the camp or a mile from the exit, my GPS starts saying, turn right, turn right, turn right. I think it was probably a woman's voice, turn right, however she said it. Okay. Now, I know I was supposed to be following my GPS, but turning right at 70 miles per hour is probably not in my skill set, okay? So I slowed down, took exit 66, and then made a right, and then another immediate right, and went back and 3/4 of a mile east on the service road to arrive safely at my destination, right? So as far as the GPS was concerned, however, it thought I was on the service road instead of on the interstate. And so this made me wonder, as I'm listening to that voice, turn right, turn right. It made me wonder about all the voices that we have calling after us, all the voices that have our attention, all the voices, all the so-called authorities that we let speak to us all the time in our day-to-day lives. So this morning, whose voice are you listening to? Who gets to say where you are and where you're supposed to be? Who gets to say who you are and who you're supposed to be? There's only one voice, y'all, worth listening to. Only one voice that makes all the difference, and that voice is the voice of God. So our scripture this morning, God's word this morning, Mark chapter 1, hear and receive the word of the Lord. So they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue, and he began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law or the scribes. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, O Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to evil, unclean spirits, and they obey him." News, I'll stop there. Lord Jesus, in that synagogue 2,000 years ago, they needed to hear your teaching. And they needed to see the power of your teaching. Lord, here we are, 2024, March 3rd. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear and know and see the authority and power of your teaching. So, Lord, this morning, you come and you speak to us. Lord, I know I may be talking, but I'm just going to ask that something far different than that happens. That every person here hears not just from the guy on the stage, but they hear from the very Spirit of Jesus speaking to their hearts right where they are, whatever their need may be, whatever their struggle may be, whatever their purpose may be. Lord Jesus, speak to us, every single one of us this morning. In your name, Jesus, amen. Y'all can be seated. So at the very end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mountain, you probably know it, Matthew 5 through 7. At the very end of his Sermon on the Mountain, Matthew tells us how the people responded to Jesus. Verse 28 and 29, Matthew 7. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. So this whole sermon series, you know, there's something about that name. We're talking about how Jesus had authority. Last week we talked about Jesus having authority to make the unclean clean. We'll see a little bit about that this morning as well. But this morning especially, we're going to focus in on the authority of Jesus, all right? In Greek, the word for power is dunamis, which sounds like dynamite, right? In dunamis, it means to have the ability to do something. But exousia, the Greek word for authority, that's when someone has the right to do something. So when we say Jesus had authority, we mean not just that he had power, but that he had the authorization. He had the God-given responsibility and mandate to do exactly what the Father desired him to do. God gave Jesus the authority and the privilege of acting on his behalf in the world. Last week, remember we talked about Jesus, you know, it's all authority been given to him, and then boom, he gave that same authority to us. Jesus had both dunamis and exousia. He had both the power and the authority given to him by his Father. So this morning, let's focus in on three truths about the authority of Jesus and his teaching in our lives. Three truths about why this right here should matter in our lives. First truth is that Jesus had purposeful authority. There was absolute alignment and total integrity in Jesus. I mean, right? Jesus didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. Jesus never had to say the line that maybe many of us may be guilty of saying, or maybe at least thinking, and that is, now kids, do as I say and not as I do, right? When Josh and Haley were in elementary school, they went to Whiteside Elementary off of 75th and Slide. And either in third or fourth grade, Whiteside always sent their classes on a field trip to Safety City. Anybody out there been to Safety City? I see that hand. In the last service, I got one hand. So thank you. I'm glad y'all are here. So anyway, Safety City was always a fun trip, but also an important learning experience for our kids. One of the stations at Safety City was all about traffic lights. They had a traffic light, I don't know, about that tall. And I'll never forget being there with my son, Josh. The officer who was leading our discussion stood in front of the traffic light, and he turned the light to green, and he asked the kids, "What does that light mean?" Right? Almost every hand went up, and a little girl answered, "Green means go." Then he switched the light to red, and he asked the kids what that light meant. Almost every hand went up, and the officer called, actually on one of Josh's friends, and he said, "Red means stop." Then he turned the light to yellow, and he asked, "Does anyone know what a yellow light means?" Not as many hands went up this time, but one of the hands that went up was my son Josh's hand, and I was just so proud, you know, that he knew the answer, right? And sure enough, the officer called on Josh. He called on Josh and he asked, "Okay, son, tell us what a yellow light means." And Josh answered with great confidence, "Yellow means go real fast." That really happened. That's not just a story. Unfortunately, there are a lot of areas in my life where my walk, how I live, precludes my talk. You probably won't hear me telling you don't eat too much ice cream, or never get upset at referees, or make sure that you always let the fruit of the Spirit known as patience be birthed in your life. For some reason, I don't preach on those things. But for Jesus, there was no dichotomy between what he taught and how he lived. There was absolute alignment in Jesus. He lived out a life of integrity for all to see. The word integrity means undivided. It means whole. A person who has integrity is a person whose life is in balance. A person who has integrity is a person who has congruity and consistency in his or her life. This was not true, however, of the scribes, the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They weren't living congruent or aligned lives. The outside of their cup that everybody saw and the inside of their cup simply did not match up. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 23. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly, when you look at them, they're beautiful. But within, they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." The Pharisees and scribes, you know, there they are, you know, they're offering this rigid legalism, which they showed off to everybody on the outside. But their lives, their relationships, their attitudes, and their approach toward others, man, it was stinky. It stunk of hypocrisy. I'm reminded of the Brennan Manning quote made famous by DC Talk back in the day. "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." There is authority in Jesus because there's no stink in Jesus. I mean, Jesus, all we see, all we smell is the sweet but powerful fragrance of his grace and his power, his love and his truth, his forgiveness and his healing. I mean, what you see in Jesus is what you get in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2, Paul says this. He's talking about Jesus, but he's really talking about what happens when Jesus comes in us. "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere we go. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life." You see what happens when we yield ourselves to the authority of Jesus, when we yield ourselves to the authority of his word, his teaching, his leadership in our lives, is that we too, when we really yield ourselves, open ourselves to his word, his teaching, his presence in our lives, guess what? We start smelling good too. The aroma that we begin to give off is like the Christ-like aroma that he gave off. The sweet but powerful fragrance of the Father. Love and truth, healing, forgiveness, grace. So I wonder this morning, how you smell it? Are you letting the fragrance of Jesus be your fragrance? Are you more like the Pharisees, pretending to be one way when really it's not the truth of what's really going on? Jesus had purposeful authority, consistency, integrity, alignment. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to have as well. It's all about how we deal. If we really yield ourselves to that authority, that's what begins to happen in us too. Okay, second truth about the authority of Jesus and his teaching is that Jesus taught with primary authority. Mark 1:22, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes." Not like the scribes. In other words, Jesus doesn't speak with footnotes. Jesus doesn't quote Rabbi Hillel, Rabbi Shammai. Jesus simply profoundly speaks the truth of his Father as found in the Old Testament or as directly revealed to him from his Father. The scribes, on the other hand, their whole purpose, it was to know and preserve the law and encourage others to keep it. They had a great aim, a great purpose. They spent their whole lives copying Scripture, translating Scripture, teaching Scripture. But they also elevated the teachings, interpretations, and traditions of men to the same level as God's Word itself. Now, that doesn't happen anymore, does it? What some preacher or teacher claims equal to what God teaches. And so the scribes would quite often quote other noted scribes or other famous rabbis or other man-made traditions. They would quote all those things. They'd footnote everything they said because that's how they would validate their own positions. In so doing, as the scribes added more and more and more man-made traditions to the law, they often prioritized these traditions, their traditions, over God's Word. Despite their initial aim to preserve the Word, they ended up nullifying God's Word with their own ideas and traditions, their own ideas and interpretations. Six times in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses a phrase. He says six times, "But I say to you." Matthew 5:21, you've heard that it was said of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother, sister, will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire." Matthew 5:27, you've heard that it was said, "You should not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who just looks at a woman lustfully, with lustful intent, has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Matthew 5:31, it was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say, in other words, this was just, it's like, you know, just sign a piece of paper and let her go. "But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Matthew 5:33. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." But I say to you, don't swear. Don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, for that's the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, capital K. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Matthew 5:38. You've heard that it was said, "An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth," retributive justice, right? You punch me, I punch you back. "But I say to you," Jesus says, "do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other as well." Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." There's no footnotes there, right? This is primary authority coming from Jesus himself. So I wonder this morning what Jesus might be saying to you, Cade. Right? Or to you, Larry? Or to you, Preston? Or to you, Tina? What's he saying? Can we take just a minute and just stop and listen? "Speak, Lord, for your children are listening." We're not listening to what our managers might be saying about who we are. We're not just listening to what doctors say or what our family says. Jesus, who do you say we are? Jesus, what do you want to say to us This is what Jesus said in John chapter 12. He said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment. He told me what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment, it's eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Jesus sought no earthly approval, no earthly validation, no earthly credentials. He didn't need a footnote. Jesus simply and profoundly spoke what the Father wanted him to speak. And by the way, not just spoke past tense. He speaks to this very morning, to this very day, what the Father wants him to speak. Do you remember how God created in Genesis chapter 1? I had to go get my other Bible. This Bible has lost Genesis chapter 1. So this is what he... All right, this is how it happened, all right? This is how creation came to be. And God said, you hear? He spoke it. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters, separate water from water. Let there be sky." And it was so. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky, separating the day from the night." And it was so. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." And it was so. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures, each according to its kind." And it was so. And then God said, "Let us make man in our own image." And God created us, male and female, in his image. God is in the business, not just of creating long ago, but recreating this very morning. And he speaks it with authority, his voice, into our lives. Y'all, this morning we talk about the authority of Scripture all morning long. The authority of his voice all morning. And we say, "Yeah, I believe in the authority." But it's one thing to believe it. It's another thing to actually take the time to submit yourself and give yourself to his voice. Not just spoken, but speaking to us even this very morning. Okay, third, final truth about the authority of Jesus in his teaching is that Jesus spoke and Jesus lived with powerful authority. Mark 1:27, the people were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even gives orders to impure, unclean spirits, and they obey him." The people didn't just hear about Jesus' authority. They didn't just hear his teachings. They saw his authority and his power in the way that God was working in and through Jesus when he was in ministry. So look at our passage just one more time. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. By the way, just like you came into the church this morning, Jesus went into the synagogue. Just like we have teaching in the church, they had teaching in the synagogue. What we do, and sometimes, why do we do it? We do it because that's the way Jesus did it, all right? Anyway, so here's Jesus beginning to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, again, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law or the scribes. Just then, as he was teaching in the synagogue, just then a man who was possessed by an evil spirit. Now, by the way, that's the way we read it here. Most translations just say a man who had an unclean, impure spirit. Just a comment. The man with the unclean spirit, where was he? In the synagogue. It's not where you are on the outside that matters. It's who you are on the inside that counts. So y'all have heard it, right? Being in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. Or being in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Or being in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in Krispy Kreme makes you a donut. Because it's not where you are on the outside that matters. It's who you are on the inside that counts. This man had an unclean spirit. The Greek word is akatharto, and it just means that he had a spirit that was not clean, a spirit that was not pure, a spirit that was not whole. It didn't have integrity like we're talking about Jesus. It wasn't whole, but it was a spirit that was dividing him. Part for God, part against God. Part for God, part for this world. Part devoted and part evil. Again, the NIV says possessed by a spirit. But when we hear that, we're going, well, that sounds like some horror movie. No, this man just had a spirit, right, that was divided in him. A spirit that was unclean, unpure, impure in him. It was certain, no matter however you want to define this, it was certain that this man was L-U-I, living under the influence of evil. I mean, we all know DUI, right? Driving under the influence. Driving under the influence is deadly. It kills people. It harms people all the time. Guess what LUI does? Same thing. LUI, living under the influence of evil. It is John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you're LUI, guess what's going to happen? Death is going to happen. Harm is going to happen. Your joy, your purpose getting stolen away is going to happen. Okay, keep back. Janie, you got to go back to that our verse. We're right in the middle of it. I apologize. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit had an evil spirit. He cried out, "What do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." By the way, here in this passage, it's real clear that the demonic influence knows who Jesus is. James says, right, the devil believes and he shudders. The demons believe and they shudder. So Satan himself believes that Jesus is God, and it's not enough. It's not enough to just believe. It's not even enough to believe and have a feeling. We are to put our life into his hand and allow him to put himself into us. It's not enough to just have a mental assertion, a cognitive idea about God. We have to enter into relationship with God. Anyway, back to the passage. Verse 24, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And then Jesus says, verse 25, "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly, "come out of him." And the evil spirit shook the man violently, and he came out with a shriek. Y'all, Jesus has authority and power. Remember? Authority, this is what Jesus should do. Power, this is what Jesus will do. Authority and power together. And so Jesus says, "Be quiet," and the demon was quiet. Jesus says, "Come out," and the demon, the impure spirit, comes out and is gone. And now the man wants unclean is made clean. The man once impure is made pure because of the authority of Jesus' word. This morning, I invite you to surrender yourself, surrender your life, surrender your family to the powerful authority of Jesus and his teaching. Again, it's one thing for us to talk about it, it's another thing for us to do it. Jesus taught us three things. We'll go to communion. Three things. Jesus taught us, Luke 19:10, that the Son of Man, that he came to seek and to save the lost. Seeking to save the lost in that synagogue 2,000 years ago? Yes. Seeking to save the lost in this very room this morning? Yes. Jesus didn't come just to show his power. Jesus didn't just come so he'd feed 5,000 people out on a hillside. Jesus just didn't come so he'd walk on water. Jesus came to find you and me. to find us right where we are, right where we need him most. And then John 10:10, read the first half of it. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come. Jesus came. This is his teaching. I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. What would that look like if you really yielded yourself to that truth? And then when you read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, Jesus taught us that he has a whole other way, a whole other better way for us to live. Again and again, Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount and throughout the Gospels his core values. He teaches us a new way he has for us to live, not to live like the world. In fact, when you read through Matthew 5-7, you just go, you know, Jesus is not lowering the bar. Man, he's raising the bar. What you realize when he teaches through the Sermon on the Mount is you go, I could never do that on my own. I could only do that in trusting in him. He teaches us that living those values starts and stops when we stop trusting in ourselves and we start trusting in him. Those core values, we don't just suck it up and do it really, you know, work really, really hard. Those values become real when we stop trying to be self-sufficient and we acknowledge that we are truly and totally dependent on him. Y'all, I want to pray for us before we come to communion. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that we will not simply be amazed by your authority, amazed by your teaching, but that we might be truly receptive of your authority and power working in our lives. Lord, this morning, as this bread touches our lips, may your touch and power touch our lives. Not just bread and juice in the stomach, but your love into the very core of our being, your love and transformation and the power of your spirit into the very core of our being. We pray this morning that we would have not just mere acknowledgement like the demon gave Jesus, but that we would have true surrender to your absolute authority in our lives. And Lord, as we yield ourselves to that authority, your purpose, your primacy, and your power would be made real in us. So Lord, at the altar, as we're taking bread and juice, may we just take you. May we just surrender, submit ourselves to you. And as we do, Lord Jesus, we trust you to work out all the details, like you did for the man who had the unclean spirit, do for us. And may we go out of here different than when we came in. If we need to be made clean, make us clean. If we need to stop trusting in ourselves, may we stop trusting in ourselves. If we need to confess our sins, let us confess our sins. If we need to receive healing, let us receive healing. For Lord, this is your house, and these are your people, your sons and your daughters. So again, Jesus, not just the touch of bread on our lips, but the touch of your spirit on our hearts. In your name we pray, amen. If you're helping with communion, I ask that you come at this time. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you wait, Monica? Sorry, Andy. We remember that on the night Jesus took bread, he gave thanks to his Father, and he broke the bread, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Not earned by you, not paid for by you, but given for you. And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and once again, he gave thanks to his Father, and he poured the cup. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of him. Oh, Jesus, you know why we came today. You know where we are today. You know our struggles today. And so we come to your table of unconditional love and absolute grace. And we ask you to fill us with your very presence, Jesus. We yield ourselves, submit ourselves to your authority. Y'all come and receive Jesus this morning. So every day I live on planet Earth, one thing I know for sure, I am not, nor will I ever be, enough. But one thing I know every day, ever more days I live on planet Earth, the one thing I know is that He is enough. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. By His power, His love, His grace, and His presence, we've come into this house, right, to worship Him. But by His same love, His same power, and His same grace, now we go out. We go out to the same way we have received love. Now we go out to give love to this world that so desperately needs Him. Remember, He has the authority. He's the only one who has the authority because He's the one, right, that created you. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, and poured forth His Holy Spirit into you. He has authority, but it's a gentleman's authority. He does not bang you over the head with it. He knocks on your door with it. So every day, open up that door and say, come on in, because I need you, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, because I love you, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, because you are enough. For all of us, no matter what our challenge, you are enough. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you guys. Thank y'all for being here.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.